Fathers, we come today again to address the issue of graduating and moving on to another phase of life. All of us, in one way or another, are moving on to another phase of life. And the questions are always the same. And really, so far as your word is concerned, the answers are always the same. And so we pray, Lord, whatever stage of life we are in today, that we will apply the principles of your word as we face the life choices and the decisions, and that we will walk knowing that the road that we're taking is indeed the road you have selected for us, and that it is the one that will best serve your purposes and that will bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, which is why we have been placed here in the first place and why you incorporated redemption. Because you have a great plan ahead for each and every one of us. So help us today to be about your business. Help us today to be about the things that you would have us to do, whether we're in college, whether we're still in school, whether we're in the workplace, whether we are supposedly retired. Dear Lord, that we would every day be about your work and your business. Now take your word today. And use it, we pray. Use it in our hearts for your purposes. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So we come to graduation time again, and I think probably some of those graduations are happening this coming week. And as I wrote in the newsletter, some of those speeches will be inspiring and some may will be boring. But one thing is absolutely sure, and that is that life goes on and many will be moving into a new phase of life, either to further education or maybe perhaps to enter the workforce. And again, every single one of us are moving on in some form or some fashion. So don't think just because this is graduation Sunday, and a lot of this will, in a sense, be directed to our graduates, that there isn't truth in here that all of us can apply. So we're going to start right out this morning with a few observations here. If you're one of those who do like to take the notes or fill in the blanks and have something to take home, now would be the time to get those. And I have at the top here again this from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who love their who lose their life for my sake will find it. And of course, the Lord Jesus practiced that himself. He gave up his life so that we could actually have a life. But let's go with our observations here. Number one, as we think about life and think about moving ahead and moving on to the next phase, number one, we all have multiple options as we make our life choices. But there are only two fundamental approaches to life. And here in America, especially, more than in many other parts of the world, very often we do. Even if we come from a family that we say isn't the most well-to-do, most of us have at least more than one option at our disposal. We may have more than one college that we can choose among. Or we have other options. So the whole thing when we get to this stage of life is, what should I be doing next? Or what do I want to do next? And some seem to kind of know the answer to that. And others sometimes at that age are saying, I really don't know. And I've seen cases where mom and dad think they know. They send that kid to some expensive college somewhere, spend $75,000 on the first 3 years of their education, only to find out that that is not the way that that child wants to pursue, and drops out. And I worked with one of those one time at Charles Barker Toyota, very intelligent young man. But even at that stage, after 3 years of college, he really didn't know yet what he wanted to do. So these are decisions that we have to make. But whether we take a short time or a long time making them, whether we have a pretty good idea what they're going to be, or we have hardly the vaguest idea what they're going to be, the point is that we really do, all of us, especially in our country, we have quite a few options that we can choose from. We can choose to do nothing, maybe, and stay at home for a while. That's one option. There are all kinds of options available to us. But there are really only two basic approaches to life, and that is what I want to talk about this morning, because it is this approach to life, more so than the actual options, that are going to determine where we go and what we do with our lives, and whether at the end, whether our life has brought honor and glory to the Lord and we have impacted lives along the way for good, or whether we've just gone our merry way, lived life the way we wanted to live it, maybe had a good life, but really, in the end, haven't had much of an impact on anybody because we've pretty much lived our lives for ourselves. And the two basic approaches to life, which we all have, and there are only two. A life of total commitment to Jesus Christ. Or B, a life based on our own dreams, plans, and ambitions, and what the world has to offer. In other words, temporal concern. So much of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ had to do with this issue of temporal concerns. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so we need to decide early rather than later which approach to life we are going to pursue. And I find that in Christian circles, we like a mix. But I'm sorry, mixes don't cut it with heaven and with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to make a clear decision early on. Am I going to live my life complete commitment to Jesus Christ? Whether I'm in college, whether I'm in workplace, whether I'm married, whether I'm single, whether I have a lot, whether I have a little, am I going to live it in full commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ from day one, from the day that I turn college age, or am I going to kind of make it up as I go, be in church some so I can have a good appearance, have that belief as a nice tack on in order to, you know, an add on to my life, or am I going to really go all out for God? And that really is the decision that we have, and it's a decision that either intentionally or by default we are going to make one way or the other along the way. We don't have but one, folks. I'm sorry. I remember one of our early fathers. I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. We only have one life to live. We only have one life to spend. And yes, we do get to determine to some degree how we spend it. How are we going to spend it? What are we going to invest it in? And what are going to be the guiding principles that guide us as we make the choices of life? Number two. Everything temporal, and that includes planet Earth. Everything temporal will ultimately perish. But everything related to Christ and the kingdom of God will endure for all eternity. This is another theme of Scripture throughout. All flesh is grass, and like the flower of grass that passes away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Only these things are going to endure forever. I can have it all. I can have the big house. I can have the car. I can have the swimming pool. I can be known in high places. I can be on everybody's invitation list. I can have it all and still lose it all because I'm lost. Or lose it all in the sense that I spent it foolishly, and maybe I made it into heaven, but I get up there like a stripped branch, and I don't even have any fruit to show the Lord. Because I was content just with having church attendance and a belief, but I didn't really live for God. I didn't really spend my life in a way that made a difference for Him. Everything temporal will ultimately perish, but everything related to Christ and the kingdom of God will endure for eternity. So let me ask you, where do you want to invest your life? Temporal things are only a means to an end. I work so I can eat, and I eat so that I can serve God. They are just a means to an end. But the end is serving God. But the problem with life today is that so many of the things become ends in themselves. The education becomes an end in itself. The house and the car becomes an end in itself. The happy relationship with someone of the opposite sex becomes an end in itself. All of these things become ends in themselves. And that's when we run into trouble. And these are the ones that if we get to the end of life that way, we're not going to have anything to show. We may have been absolutely successful by the world's standards, but we're not going to have anything to show. Number three. The world and the kingdom of Christ hold opposing views on the meaning and nature of success. More on that in a few moments. Somebody that is really successful according to God's standards may look like an absolute loser to the world. And somebody who has it all by the world's standards is probably a loser in heaven. Totally opposing views of what constitutes success. Number four, the optimal time to choose a course is at the beginning of a journey. Whether you're going by foot, by car, by boat, by airplane, by rocket ship, the best time to choose a course is before you leave the launch pad. Not later. Mid-course adjustments can be made, but the general direction has to be right. It's my understanding that airplanes make mid-course adjustments. But if you've got an airplane going from Chicago to Los Angeles, supposedly, but he's really headed to New York, you've got a problem. Now, if he's headed to Los Angeles and he's a little off course, then we can make a correction in course. But that's why I say it's very, very important to set that course, and we need to go ahead and set that course. The best time to set that course is right up front, while we're still young and while we have our life ahead of us. So I say, the optimal time to choose a course is at the beginning of a journey. Mid-course adjustments can be made, but the general direction has to be right. That is why our choices as young people are so important. Now, you may not yet know. There's nothing wrong with that. You may not yet know all that the Lord wants you to do. And I'm not asking you to know. You'll know when you know. But I am asking you to decide which approach to life you're going to take from this point on. Are you going to live in total dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ and really seek His guidance for each and every decision that you make? Or are you going to do like the rest of the world and say, well, I think I like this. I think I'll go this way. And as long as the Lord knows I love Him, everything will be all right. That's what I'm asking. That's the choice that I'm asking you to make. Now is the time to choose right. And the Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. I can start fresh at 40. I can start fresh at 50 or 60 if the Lord gives me that much life. But the best way is to make the right choice and choose the right direction right up front. I remember reading a little story in one of my Sunday school books years ago. So there's this little girl in the Sunday school class, and her Sunday school teacher kept saying, Susie, or whatever her name was, you need to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And she said, I'm going to, but there's just some other things I want to enjoy in life right now. So Susie's birthday came around, and she got a long box from her teacher, from her Sunday school teacher. And when she opened it up, it was a dozen long-stem roses. But they were all dead and faded. She, when she opened the box, she had this sense of excitement. But then when she saw them, she said, Susie, is that how you want your life to be by the time you get around to offering it to Jesus? And I never forgot that story. I'm indebted to this here, to Jason Marshall. He, you know, people send us stuff different times, and this is part of a Bible study that he had come across. And so I just want to share a couple illustrations today of what we're talking about from real life. This young man was born in 1887. His name was Bill Borden. Bill Borden was born into the Borden family. How many have ever heard of Borden's dairy products? He was an heir to the family fortune. And it starts out by saying Bill Borden was a millionaire when he graduated from high school at age 16. How many we got out here, you're a millionaire? You're 16, you've graduated, and you're a millionaire. Now remember, He graduated back around 1904. Imagine how much $1 million was back then. Bill Borden was a millionaire. He was an heir to that fortune. And since he was from such a prominent family, Bill was able to enroll at Yale, the most prominent Christian college of his time. Did you know that Yale at one time was considered a Christian school? Yes, it was in its early days. After graduation from Yale, Bill moved to Princeton for his graduate work. During his first semester at Yale, Bill Borden, this young man, started a prayer group that would transform campus life. One of his friends described how it began. It was well on in the first term when Bill and I began to pray together in the morning before breakfast. I cannot say positively whose suggestion it was, but I feel it must have originated with Bill. We had been meeting only a short time when a third student joined us, and soon after a fourth. They would just spend a little time there after a brief reading of Scripture, some time in prayer. Bill's handling of Scripture was helpful. He would read to us from the Bible, show us something that God promised, and then proceed to claim the promise with assurance. Borden's small morning prayer group gave birth to a movement that soon spread across the campus. By the end of his first year, 150 freshmen We're meeting weekly for Bible study and prayer. Would you say Bill Borden was making his time count while he was on that college campus? By the time Bill Borden was a senior, 1,000 of Yale's 1,300 students were meeting in such groups. While this may be an amazing story in itself, his life had a greater impact after he graduated. When Bill Borden died in 1913 at the age of 25, written on the back cover of his Bible were six simple but powerful words: no reserves, no retreats, no regrets. Each phrase had been penned at a different stage of his journey to China, which he had made in order to reach Muslims with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each in its own way represented his obedient response to Jesus' call, although many people had questioned his sanity in making decisions that seemed so radical and rash. No reserves. That's the first one. Borden's journey began on a sailing trip offered by his parents as a graduation present when he was 16 years old. Seeing the world for the first time, the youth was inspired to write home, announcing his decision to devote his life to the mission field. When a friend accused him of throwing away his future, he jotted down the first line: no reserves. No retreats. At Yale University, Borden's passionate pursuit of Christian service, rather than his multimillionaire status, caused him to stand out from the rest of the student body. His unparalleled dedication to Christ made him a leader who other students gravitated to for spiritual sustenance. On the basis of his compulsion to care for widows, orphans, and the needy, Bill founded the Yale Hope Mission. Concerned friends would often find him in the most dangerous and derelict parts of the city, sharing the gospel with a drunken drifter he had fed and befriended. During Borden's days at Yale, though, Christ called him to the mission field in China. Upon graduation, he was offered many lucrative jobs, each of which he turned down. It was at this juncture that he wrote the second line in the back of his Bible: no retreats. In preparation for his mission, Borden traveled first to Egypt for language study, only to contact spinal meningitis, from which he died within a month. The third line was evidently penned during this brief terminal illness. No regrets. When it became evident that Bill Borden would not be able to follow his missionary dream, he wrote a $1 million gift to the China Inland Mission into his will. Bill lived with a humble family near the institute where he was learning Arabic. After his death, Gamal B. Hassoun, the owner of the house, wrote a letter to Bill's family. In that letter, Gamal wrote, "It is beyond power to describe his great zeal and diligence in studying the difficult Arabic language. But though he was so absorbed, so fond, so overwhelmed with his studies, he did not make Arabic his only aim. He looked to what was higher and nobler and appointed a large portion of his time for reading the sacred scriptures." His Bibles, and he had many of them, were all visited by his eyes. There were many remarks on their margins made in his handwriting and many underlined texts, which showed that he had chosen them and probably put them into memory. His reading the scriptures was not a daily duty. He read them because he loved them. And then it says, "If a letter were to be written about you, what might that letter say?" The following words were engraved on Bill's headstone: Break down the words of this poem and identify Bill's legacy. A man in Christ, he arose and forsook all and followed him, kindly affectioned with brotherly love, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, communicating to the necessity of the saints. That is Old English for giving money. In honor, preferring others. Apart from faith in Christ, there is no explanation for such a life. And then it says, are you graduating from high school, college, grad school, medical school, seminary, or other school this month or next? Do you have a graduate in your life that you're celebrating? Like Bill Borden, are you ready to enter a new season of life with no reserves, no retreats, no regrets? So Bill Borden is a strong example and testimony. He had all the opportunities in the world. He could have gone a totally different direction, but he chose obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in our own news here a few days ago, we hear about a young man named Mark Rodriguez, a student at Norfolk Christian School, from which my wife Barbara and her sister Beverly graduated some time ago. And this is from the site, Wavy TV 10 site. Mark Rodriguez may have only been 17 years old, but his faith, talent, and positive outlook on life were well beyond his years. He had an unusual maturity about him. I think everybody would say that, Mark's father, Carlos Rodriguez, told Wavy.com. Mark lost his life Friday night at the hands of a gunman. And if there's one thing Rodriguez wants you to know about his son, it's that he was an ambassador for Christ. You know, Mark crossed the finish line picking up speed in terms of his walk with the Lord, or who he was as a man or a believer. Mark sprinted to the end, Rodriguez said. I hope I will be able to do that too. Mark's example helps me. And what was so central to Mark's life is what Rodriguez says keeps their family from letting his death test their faith. He says, I think it's because we know the Lord. We know the story of the Lord. We know that what the Lord did and what the Lord is doing, Rodriguez said. One can say this is senseless, that it is a tragedy. There is nothing senseless about it. It hurts, but Mark loved Jesus. As the pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Virginia Beach, Rodriguez hears it all the time. How could a loving God allow something like this to happen? He allowed this to happen to his own son. So when we ask, where is God? Where is this God? Does he understand or care? The answer is, of course. He loved the world so much that he gave his own son, that whosoever believes in him. And his own son died a horrible death. The family has a treehouse in the backyard of their Virginia Beach home, the home Mark was driving back to following the Norfolk Christian graduation festivities the night he was killed. Mark's father said his son would go to the treehouse in quiet times to pray and contemplate all that is the world. So we built this treehouse to be kind of a refuge, to sort of come and be in nature. So Mark would wake up every morning, he would take a shower, grab his coffee, and would sit there. He would have his coffee and have his Bible, his way of connecting with God, Rodriguez said. During those times, Mark kept detailed and insightful journals of his faith, and he was a prolific writer. This passage he wrote in June 2013. Quote, lastly, I prayed for myself, for courage, for guidance, for wisdom, God has plans for me, crazy plans. God is not dead. Faith is not dead. I have a calling, quote, unquote. Mark loved to worship and witness and was not afraid of death. He recently wrote a blog about the immeasurable joy of reaching the gates of heaven. I've been meditating on heaven a lot lately, and I must say, it wells my eyes with tears of joy every now and then. What a beautiful thought that one day I will be completely in the presence of God, Mark wrote on April the 5th. Mark's parents named him after Mark the Evangelist, who likely wrote the Gospel of Mark. History tells us Mark was probably written as a missionary book to people who knew next to nothing about the new Christian faith. Rodriguez says his remarkable son had a deep spiritual love for God and spent the last 4 years of his life teaching others about Christianity. During a recent trip to Nicaragua, Rodriguez said Mark saw the difference that the gospel could make in the world. As he saw the lives of these people, he realized he could make a difference. God could use him to bring love and the gospel to people. It shifted his perspective, Rodriguez said. Rodriguez said he is in awe of his son and that it's always the beautiful things that are cut down. It was the beauty of his life that is really standing out against the pure senselessness and violence of his death, Rodriguez said. Now, these are two young men that lived 110 years apart. One born in 1887, one born in 1997. But we see some remarkable similarities, do we not? And these are two young men that didn't wait and say, I'm going to wait until I'm 30 or 40 to totally consecrate my life to the Lord. At around age 16 or 17 or 18, they made this choice. And though these lives are cut short, how many here believe that both of these lives are going to continue to have impact for a long time to come? As Stuart Hamlin wrote, we can't determine the length of our life, but we can the width and the height. And it all has to do with that approach. One approach says, be successful in the eyes of the world. Make your life count in the here and now. And we could name some very big famous names that have done a lot of good for a lot of people, but I can't tell you if they'll be in heaven or not. And as far as I know, many of them have, you know, may not even serve the Lord and haven't won anybody for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, someone who says, I'm going to give my life as a missionary, I'm going to give my life this way, we're not all called to that. But many look at that and they say, as in the case of Bill Borden, what a waste, what a waste. Why, he could have been a head of a corporation. Why, he could have made even more and given more to good causes. Can you hear those voices? Let me tell you something. There's only one voice a Christian really needs to hear. And that is the voice that we need to be attuned to. And that is the voice of our Savior. Not even what do mom and dad want me to do? What do my friends want me to do? We can get good counsel from these people, especially if they serve the Lord. But ultimately, we need to be listening for the Lord's voice, even at the early age. Lord, what do you want to do with my life? So whatever the next stage is that you're facing in life right now, be that college, be that work, be that some other phase of life, I would challenge you and myself and all of us here today, make it a matter of prayer. And I'm going to close with this. I found some more about Bill Borden And I found two little things here that I believe are the keys to that life we just read about. Here's the first one. During his college years, Bill Borden made an entry in his personal journal that defined what his classmates were seeing in him. That entry said simply, "Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time." And here's the other one. Although he was a millionaire, Bill seemed to realize always that he must be about his father's business and not wasting time in the pursuit of amusement. Although Borden refused to join a fraternity, quote, he did more with his classmates in his senior year than ever before, close quote. He presided over the huge student missionary conference held at Yale and served as president of the Honor Society Phi Beta Kappa. I think in those two paragraphs, you can find the secrets to why Bill Borden lived his life the way he did. What is the key to the way you are currently living your life? Shall we pray? Father, we come today, we look at these lives, they're just ordinary people like us. You put them in a different time. You put them in a different place. They were faithful to you in the places where you put them. And they didn't wait until later in life to make that most critical of choices. It's not just, am I going to serve Jesus in some general sense? It's whether my life is going to count for the kingdom.
So I pray today,
Lord, I pray for our youth, and I pray for all of us. Whatever time we have left, whether that's 20 hours or 20 years, or much more than that, Lord, that every day would count for you, that every day would count for the kingdom, and that every day we would take your business seriously and know that we've been put here in order that we might know you, serve you, love you, and by extension serve those around us, but always in the context of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for us and what he is also willing to do in and through and for them. Lord, may our lives truly be a living sacrifice. And once that has been done, our lives will bring glory to you and will have an impact on those around us. Thank you for this life you've given us. Lord, may we use it well. And when I say that, I mean in the context of total commitment to you and following what you have for us. Use your word today, we pray, in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.